Jay Asher's young adult novel, 13 Reasons Why, is a somber chronicle of why one girl committed suicide. The novel is a critical favorite and cited by thousands of teens as an inspirational book. It topped the New York Times bestsellers list and made the International Reading Association Young Adults Choice list. Asher was in Fayetteville this month to talk to public school students about suicide and about his effort called 50 States Against Bullying. He also hosted a book reading at the Fayetteville location of Barnes & Noble. In between those commitments, he talked to me inside the Anthony and Susan Hoy news studio.
I had a close relative attempt suicide at the same age as the girl in the book, a junior in high school. And, you know, over the years, talking about it became something I was very sensitive to. And I saw all these nuances in it, you know, whether it's assigning blame or how much more that person could have done. And so it's just always something where there are so many complex ways to think about it. And I never thought I would write about it. I was trying to write funny books for young kids, but eventually the idea for this book came to me, and I just felt it was, even though it was something out of what I normally liked to write, I thought it was an intriguing idea, but also something I was very passionate about, you know, as far as getting a message out there that we need to talk about these things, even though it's uncomfortable.
Right. And funny books, I'm not to say that writing a funny book for young people doesn't have responsibility with it.
Sure.
But this subject comes with a lot of responsibility. So how did you address that?
I addressed it just by writing it honestly. You know, I think I would have psyched myself out if I was really concentrating on the responsibility, even though I knew there was, I read a lot of serious books. I knew a lot of authors who wrote very serious books and heard from readers about, you know, how much those books have really helped them. And over the years, talking to these other authors, I just got the sense that just by writing it honestly, that's what helps. You know, because especially teens, they know when an adult's trying to sugarcoat things, and that doesn't help anybody, because then if you're experiencing those things, you feel that person doesn't get it or isn't taking it seriously. And I know with a lot of literature that deals with serious issues, it's just seeing yourself, seeing your emotions expressed in something when it might be really difficult for you to express those emotions, so you're bottling it up. Just seeing it, seeing yourself identified helps.
Interesting point you made there that teenagers have a BS detector,
yeah.
especially when something's written for them for an adult. And I remember having that. But the further you get away from being a teenager, the harder it is sometimes to distinguish what that will be, because it's a different generation. Just a few years of teenagehood is a different generation.
Right.
So
it is.
How do you know you've written honestly, but how do you know something is going to connect or not be seen as pedantic or something from a slightly older writer?
Yeah, that's a good question. I don't know if I could recognize BS if it was coming out of me. But I think, again, you just have to question yourself as an author, why you're writing something. And if it's because you want to express a certain emotion that, you know, we all have similar emotions, but when you're a teen, you're experiencing some of these things for the very first time. And so portraying the scenes in the book as if it was those characters' first time, as opposed to with the wisdom of maybe having gone through these things over the years and seeing how you can get over these things. And that's what I hear from a lot of adults. They'll say, but what she dealt with wasn't that big. And that's true. But at the time, if that's the worst she's seen, it feels as big as anything's going to be.
Well, and the first time you experience something, the first time.
Heartache, anything, yeah.
Yeah.
It's going to be much worse. Even though it's always going to hurt, I think as an adult, we learn, hopefully, how to deal with these things.
Well, if you been able to deal with it, and I hesitate to use the word successfully, but if you've just been able to deal with it in some way more than once or again, or you step back and you see something isn't as big, whether it's, you know, someone bullying you or whatever, or you know that there's a way out, that's one thing. But you don't always know that when you're 13, 14, 17 years old.
And even as an adult, hopefully these things you don't experience, but you've seen other people experience. So you see it happen and you see how other people deal with it successfully or unsuccessfully. And you could, again, you could learn from the unsuccessful attempts at dealing with things as well.
Are schools or bookstores or other organizations, perhaps not because they're seeking you out and asking you to come, but are they ever a little bit hesitant because the suicide and bullying, these are things that can be tough to talk about.
Yeah, whenever I hear from teachers a lot who say, you know, they want me to come speak to their school. And when it gets out that I'm coming to speak, because my book deals with suicide and bullying, uncomfortable subject matters, as they should be uncomfortable, sometimes they'll hear from, whether it's other faculty members or parents, saying, you know, are we sure we want to do this? And I get that. I mean, I think it's responsible when somebody has a concern about an issue being brought up to not say anything. I think is irresponsible. So at least I'm glad that they express concern. A lot of times what I do in those cases where the teacher is looking for support, I'll send them emails I've received from teens who say this book was the first time they felt understood, which to me is always sad that a book is somebody's first time feeling understood. But when I go to schools, one of the things I always say is that I wouldn't be at that school if that the faculty there wasn't concerned about this and took it seriously. Because as a teen, sometimes you don't recognize that, you know?
Speaking of recognition, everyone on the surface is against bullying, right?
Right.
You see posters in every school. We all are against bullying.
Even the bullies are
exactly,
against bullying.
Exactly, exactly. And often when we see bullying depicted in movies or something, mm-hmm. it's quite obvious.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah.
Bullying can be much more subtle, much more prolonged than that. Correct?
Yeah.
We don't always recognize what bullying is.
Right. So, I'm traveling around the country doing this 50 states against bullying where I'm visiting one school in each state. And I have to say, when I was writing the book, I didn't think I was writing about bullying because I wasn't writing about the stereotypical things. I was writing about small things that I knew really affected people, but I didn't see it as bullying. But once the book came out, I immediately started to hear from people saying they've experienced that type of bullying, you know, or schools saying they're using my book to address the issue. And so I had to look up the definition, and is this what I wrote about? And it is. I did. You know, it is about very subtle things. And when one person does something to somebody just once, you probably wouldn't call it bullying because they just did it once. But to that person, you're probably not the only person that's done that. And so they can feel bullied even though a person might not actually be a bully.
So with a book like yours, you're connecting with people who – have been bullied, and they'll tell you about that. I wonder if you're also writing, maybe not even intentionally at first, you're also writing to people who potentially are bullying, but they don't think they are.
Yeah, yeah. And I mean, that was definitely something I wasn't thinking of it as bullying, but just that idea that we don't know what goes on in anybody's life. And so I know myself, I've done things that have hurt people, but at the time, you're not thinking, I mean, who knows? And I remember, well, specifically, I remember this one time in high school where I did this thing where I knew I was kind of being a little cruel, being a little bit of a jerk. And afterwards, I remember thinking, I don't know what else that guy is dealing with. And it's one of those things where, you know, for years later, you're kicking yourself. And, you know, that from what I know, that guy's, you know, doing great. You know, he seems to be great, just like, you know, I'm doing great, even though people did stuff like that to me. But you don't know what anybody else is dealing with. And so I was writing from that perspective of when you do this little thing to this person, you know, think about it for a second, that you don't know what else they're dealing with or how many times other people have done similar things to them. And the great thing is I've heard from people who say they read the book and they went and apologized to somebody they did something small to a year ago. And imagine yourself in that person's shoes. How great would that be? Somebody apologizing for something that happened a long time ago.
Let me ask you about the process of writing then. You're trying to write honestly. You've thought about an incident when you didn't like what you did. Mm-hmm. Can this be difficult or for you as a writer if you're going to write honestly about this and it does bring up something that you're not really happy about yourself that maybe even years ago?
Yeah, well, and that's one of the great things of taking so much time between having experiences happen and writing about them. I can still kick myself over these things, but I'm a different person than I was then. So I can still remember what it felt like when I started having those realizations of why did I do that, but I don't feel it represents me anymore. So I was able to just write from those emotions, but not feel bad about myself anymore, thankfully.
When you're at a public event, a school or a book signing, and you're talking and you're doing Q&A, I imagine sometimes it can become very emotional.
Yeah.
Someone might be telling you a very personal, maybe it's someone who has attempted or thought of suicide or has had a close person suicide. You've got to be ready for that. And I'm sure now you are, but
that can be heavy. That's an interesting point that now I'm ready for it, yes. But it does. I never really thought about it, but it affects me the same way as the first few times it happened. And sometimes it'll be somebody from the audience giving a comment on how they've experienced things, which I think takes a lot of bravery. And it's great that they're at a point where they feel comfortable sharing that. But a lot of times it's when people come up one-on-one, you know, to get their book signed, then they also share. Or just through an email, and they share what they've been through and why they connect with the book. And it is very overwhelming, especially when I'm at a school where I might have a dozen people saying something in one day as opposed to just an email here or there. There are times where I have to go back to my hotel and just kind of sit there for a while and decompress. And, you know, I want to take it all in, but at some time you also have to kind of let it go and just feel the honor that somebody's feeling like they can open up to you about these things, which is great. That's because keeping it in is the worst. So if I can be, you know, somebody's first step to feeling like they can talk about these things, that's beautiful.
Because you got to have that first step to talk.
That's, you have to
that's
have that
one of the
step.
Best ways to avoid a tragedy, right?
Yeah, it, that's like I said, you know, I don't feel a book should be a first time feeling understood. But at the same time, if my book gave them that, great. But that's also, I don't know them. I'm not usually don't even live in the area where they live. And at some point, I think they have to realize that, that if this guy who lives way out on the other side of the country or whatever gets me, there have to be people around me that get me too. And there are.
How do young people find out about your book? I mean, I know that there are recommendations. You have a peer group or whatever. Do you do any kind of specific marketing?
I mean, I speak at a lot of high schools. And I love that for many reasons. One, I have major stage fright, but I found that when I speak at schools, it's like the most freeing feeling. I love talking to students. But that's a big way, and one of the reasons I like doing that is because it's a captive audience, and you know, you can tell the people that are there because they've read your book and liked your writing. But you also have a lot of people who've never read your book, and if they never read the book, great, we can still talk about these issues. But a lot of times people do come up and say, you know, you inspired me to read your book, because sometimes people are hesitant about reading a book about serious issues, but when they see the author behind it and realize what place it came from, where it was written, you know, they're more intrigued by that. But a lot of it is peer, you know, word of mouth, yeah.
And finally, I imagine that a lot of the, especially the young readers that you meet, this might be the first time they've read a book and then met the person who wrote it.
Yeah.
And that's always cool.
It is cool. And they think it's cool, which is awesome. You know, when I was in high school, there were YA books, but there weren't a lot of them. I never read any. So I hadn't met my first author until I decided I wanted to be an author and was going to writing conferences. And I think it would have been amazing to meet some of my favorite authors when I was younger.
Well, and the term YA hasn't been around forever.
Right, yeah.
And for a while, when it was first emerging into the public consciousness, I think some people gave it sort of a backhanded compliment.
Yeah,
as if somehow it was lesser literature.
Yeah.
But that's gone now. People realize that a YA,
I mean, you do have a lot more adults reading it, so people are familiar with it, and people will say they read it, and that's awesome. But a lot of times, just the other day, I heard somebody say to me, they said, "I hate to admit it, but I read YA." I'm like, why would you hate to admit that to me?
Do you realize what you're saying?
But I get it. I mean, you know, some authors go out there and they say they don't think about writing YA. They just try to write the best story, and it has to do with teens or whatever. I specifically was writing for teens. So to me, if an adult reads it and gets it, great, you know. But really, I wrote it for teens.
Do you think that a good YA book has to be able to be read by an adult and appreciated? Or it's a different audience, a different demographic with different life experiences. It's okay if an adult goes, well, this isn't for me.
Yeah, either one is fine. I mean, I hear from a lot of adults who say they read it and they know it wasn't written. They can tell it wasn't written for them because it's not written from an adult perspective. Again, I'm trying to put my adult wisdom in there, but so that it doesn't feel preachy. And I hear from a lot of adults who say they didn't like it. And then somebody will tell them, but do you remember what these things felt like when you were a teen? And then they immediately have a different view of the book. And they recognize, okay, I read it from the wrong perspective. You know, and again, some YA books aren't written specifically from a teen perspective. But I was. If an adult loves it, I think it says a lot about that adult.
And I guess the bottom line is, if you're having troubles or thoughts, seek someone out.
Yeah, you need to talk. I mean, it's funny because I talk all around the country about reaching out when you need help. But I feel like a hypocrite about that because I'm one of those people that I always try to deal with it myself. And yet every single time I reach out, it always gets better every time, right away. But it's still something I can't get it through my head, and it still takes me forever to reach out for help.
That may be the most empowering thing you said, though, right there.
Well, thank you.
Because people, yeah, I like that.
Thank you.
Jay, thank you so much.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Jay Asher is the author of the novel 13 Reasons Why. He was in Fayetteville this month to speak at Fayetteville Public Schools and at the Fayetteville Barnes & Noble. You can learn more about the book at 13reasonswhy.com and more about Jay Asher's other work at jayasher.blogspot.com. And by the way, rights to the book 13 Reasons Why have been purchased by Universal Studios for an upcoming film. Jay Asher talked to Ozarks at Large inside the Anthony and Susan Hoy News Studio during his visit to Northwest Arkansas.